Well, good morning, John Edwards.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We'll be talking about a lot of things about Rock Creek Alliance, which is important to do. But first, let's look at the weather real quick, because that's also important. We have a lot of heat coming up. Currently, it's from the National Weather Service, it's 63 degrees. Today, we can expect a high of 97. That's hot. And the low tonight of 63. Tomorrow, 96. Friday, high of 96. Saturday, a high of 99, sorry. And Sunday, a high of 103. So, with that information, it's important that you just consider what you're doing in the heat. Stay hydrated. What else can we do, John, to survive this?
Get out on the lake and hang out next to the lake and swim. That's what I do.
Well, I think that's really a good thing to do. And stay hydrated. And wear sunscreen and hats and things like that. But that's from the National Weather Service. So let's get to Rock Creek Alliance, to our featured interview this morning. And I really wanted to talk about this organization. Before we even booked this interview, John, I was thinking about Rock Creek Alliance and how important it is. And I don't know if people living here in Sandpoint now realize that 25 years ago, when this potential mine was going to come online, and people came together and said, no, we're going to try to stop it, and have been stopping it for 25 years, what would have happened if this organization hadn't come about? It's amazing, actually, to me. But anyways, let's get to, why don't you introduce yourself, your position with Rock Creek Alliance. You've been with it a long time, I know that. And tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get a history from you about Rock Creek Alliance.
Yeah, well, I've been on the board for, boy, I don't know, 15 years now, somewhere in there. I mean, originally I got involved with Rock Creek as a musician, playing for one of the early parties to bring awareness to the potential hard rock mine above our lake on the Pend Oreille River. And I just became more and more interested in the issue. And really, you know, one of the reasons I moved here was the wilderness around this area and Lake Pend Oreille itself, the beautiful, you know, lake that we have that's relatively clean and clear water compared to most places in this country. And I thought it was a really worthwhile thing to join on and see how I could help to make sure that, you know, our lake stays as clean and as beautiful as possible for future generations, for myself and for future generations. I think it's one of the most important things probably I've done in my life. So I'm really proud of my contribution to Rock Creek and what we've done as a really small grassroots organization.
So I may have missed a little bit there, but have you been with this organization since the beginning?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could be up to 20 years on the board. I don't really remember exactly when I actually got on the board. But yes, I've been involved and, you know, been playing music for the annual parties, for fundraisers, since the very beginning, back in, I believe, the very first one back in 1996 at the Red Martin, if anybody remembers that restaurant. But that was where our first party was. You know, Stop Asarco. Asarco was the owner of the permit at that time.
And so, backing up a little bit more, because I really want to celebrate the very, very, very beginning. So, who came together? How did it? You said it started with a party.
Well, it didn't start with a party. It was actually Diane Williams and Mary Costello, with the aid of attorney Charlton Mills, started Rock Creek Alliance with initial funding from Lake Pend Oreille Idaho Club, Panhandle Trout Unlimited, and the Cabinet Resource Group. So those three groups were kind of the initial funding came from. And Rock Creek was incorporated in 1998 and became a nonprofit in 1999. And really, we've only had one part-time employee. Well, we actually had two at one point, but we really have only had one part-time employee and then eight board members, you know, since the inception. And, you know, it's Mary Costello has been our employee for since the beginning, and she's basically dedicated her whole life to stopping this mine and keeping Lake Pendere the beautiful lake that it is. So we, you know, obviously it takes a village to, you know, fight something like this, but Mary has been so awesome and really has stuck with it all these years, and she does not get paid very much to stay with it. And you know, and stopping a mine is not really a glorious thing to you know, dedicate your life to, but when you look at our lake, you look at our wilderness around us, it's quite a dedication that she's had over all these years, and I just can't thank her enough, and the community for stepping up and you know, getting involved. And I guess that leads into the party tomorrow night, our annual party. And that is at Matchwood Brewery tomorrow night, starting at 5 o'clock, 5 to 8:30. We're gonna have an amazing string band playing over there called Light on the Water. They're a 5-piece string band with banjo, upright bass, mandolin, guitar. The lead singer and songwriter is Allison Roll. And I think it's just going to be a fantastic show. If you haven't seen these guys, there's some low. It's a new up-and-coming string band in Sandpoint, and it's going to be a really great chance for them to get some exposure and celebrate our lake and our clean water. So if you don't know about Rock Creek Alliance, there'll be an update. There'll be a lot more information over there. There's going to be a silent auction with some just great items for you to bid on that have been donated generously by our great community. So come on down for the event tomorrow night. Get involved. We really love to get more young people involved with our organization, as a lot of us have been, as I've just stated, been fighting this thing since the late 90s. So we need some young folks to come in, come on board, and help carry this torch forward and keep our lake clean.
So we have a party coming up, folks. That's tomorrow night at Matchwood, starting at 5 to 8:30. Lots of fun things going on and a great band. Music has played an important part of Rock Creek Alliance from the beginning, as you said. But I want to back up a little bit. You mentioned a couple things that I want to get into a little bit more, because the way that nonprofits work and organizations work, with Mary Costello really being the holder of that for 25 years, and as you said, we have to thank her a lot. So celebrate Mary Costello as a dedicated person to this cause. But also, you have a working board. You have 8 people on the board, and nothing happens without a good board. So tell us a little bit about your working board and some of the things that maybe board members do there.
The main focus of, you know, the board over the years has really been public outreach and education. That's the main thing, is letting people know about this issue, and that it basically is not going away. That's the hard part. Right now, there is no permit, and Hecla, we can talk about it a little bit more, but they're really trying to go in now from the Libby side of the ore body.
So that means Montana.
On the Montana side, which would pollute the Kootenai River on the other side.
So put their tailings and the things that might pollute a river on the other side of the mountain. So instead of flowing into the Clark Fork River through Rock Creek, it would go the other direction.
Yes, because basically they had a strategy at a while to try to get both permits from both sides, but the cumulative effects of having both mines were just too much for the permit to move forward. And there's not as much opposition on the Montana side of the ore body, so they're figuring that that's going to be a better approach for them to try to get in on that side. That being said, once they get that side going, if they possibly can, with the pollution and the endangered species that that'll affect, there's still a lot of things that hurdles that they have to jump to get in on the other side. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to try to get back in on this side. It's not going away. So we need to, we can't let our guard down. And that's what they kind of wait. These big corporations, they just stay and they wait. There's a lot of, you know, precious minerals, you know, silver,
what
mostly
are some
silver.
Of those? Yeah.
Silver and copper is the main things that they'll be going after, mostly silver. But yeah, there's, you know, a lot of ore under that wilderness area.
So if they get the permit for the Montana side, so to speak, what you're saying, I think, is that it might set a precedent to kind of push to the Idaho side and into the Clark Fork.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility that they're going to, again, try to get in from the Idaho side once they start on the other side, just because they can get to the ore that's closer to this side. But they're not going to be able to get both mines in at the, you know, at once. So, you know, they get one in and then they'll try to get the other one in. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, it's been amazing that there is no permit, nothing going on this side. We basically won in court at this point.
To completely stop it.
Completely stop. So they're back to ground zero on the Idaho side, which is, well, it's really in Montana, but would drain into our lake.
And so you're, as you say, right now, but you also have said that they can wait and they will come back. So it's not a matter of saying, good, we're done. This is an ongoing forever thing to keep our waterways and, as you say, the Cabinet Mountains wilderness
right.
Wild and clean. I think about, you know, why are we stopping this since 25 years ago? What are the dangers of having this mine flow into the Rock Creek, which flows into Clark Fork River?
Well, there's a bunch of things that can happen. Basically, you know, the dewatering of a bunch of, you know, the East Fork or the East and South Fork of the Bull River, Cliff Lake. You can dewater all those, but ultimately what you get is you get heavy metals in the groundwater, and then discharge will be filtered, but the filtering system only works up to, you know, a certain amount. And then if the runoff becomes more than that, you get direct, you know, drainage into the Clark Fork River of heavy metals. And you're still going to get some heavy metals and some pollutants. They get it down to a certain level. But it's a lot of water that's going to be perpetually coming down and perpetually needing to be filtered and monitored forever if this mine goes in. The other part of that is you're going to, you know, and that amount of water, you don't know exactly how much that would be, but you're looking at about 3 million gallons a day to give you an idea forever of polluted water.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, it's really unknown. So that's not a fact until it actually happens how much water, but they estimate about 3 million gallons a day. And then the other piece is the tailings impoundment that would sit right on the edge of the Clark Fork River, which would be basically 100 million tons of mine tailings. It would be right on the edge of the Clark Fork River. These impoundments have failed. How they're going to do it?
You mean at other mines?
Other mines around the world have used this same technology. These impoundments have failed at, you know, catastrophic flooding and stuff, which we've seen. You know, 100-year floods, all this stuff. So you would have all that blow into the Clark Fork River, which just could be catastrophic.
What's in those tailings that we would be concerned about?
You know, arsenic's one of the big ones. Yeah, just a bunch of heavy metals that would, you know, it's going to pollute our lake, pollute our fish. You're not going to be able to eat the fish.
So arsenic, strychnine, probably.
Strychnine. Yeah.
Some of those other heavy metals, as you say.
A lot of heavy metals, yes.
So it's an ongoing forever thing. And it's important, I think, for the citizens who love this lake, love this part of the world. I mean, we know we live in paradise, and it's so special here. And the lake and our water are, as you said, relatively clean water, which is not the case in most places in the world, is worth protecting forever.
Right. Right. I mean, it's like once the clean water's gone, it's like it doesn't come back. I mean, it can be, things can be reclamated, but it takes a really, really long time, and you're still going to have that pollution coming down on some level.
Think about Butte, Montana.
Yeah. You can look at Butte. You can look at, the Silver Valley above Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Right.
And you know what's gone on down there, and the Superfund site that's become down there, and really it's taxpayers that pay to clean up these toxic messes, you know, and that's one of the biggest problems is that we get stuck with the bill. We get a polluted lake, and we get stuck with the bill. So yeah. It's really there may be some jobs, but besides that, really we're the losers, you know, yeah. And you know our whole economy runs on, you know, our lake, our clean lake, our wilderness. The environmental beauty up here is what brings people here and what really, you know, fires our whole economic engine here.
Right. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez, and I'm speaking with John Edwards. He's a board member with Rock Creek Alliance. More than a board member, a working part of Rock Creek Alliance, have been involved. And we're really talking about this vital organization that many people still don't know about. It amazes me. But there's a lot that we're talking about and why this is important, that Rock Creek Alliance has kept the mine at Rock Creek Lake in the Cabinet Wilderness at bay for 25 years. I'm going to be amazed about that for the rest of my life. One of the things I wanted to ask is the Montana, you talked about on the Montana side, the mine owners think that they can maybe go in that way which would pollute the Kootenai River and ultimately Lake, what is that lake up in Canada probably, the Kootenai Lake?
Yeah, Kootenai Lake, yeah, Kootenai River.
So is Rock Creek Alliance working on that aspect also?
So we have a sister nonprofit called Save Our Cabinets, and its primary focus is basically to do what we've done on this side. So we are very actively working, you know, Mary is, and, you know, we're looking at the environmental impact statement that I believe is in process right now. And, we're going to look at that and make sure that they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's and that it's actually a viable thing. Luckily, you know, for the citizen, that Montana has really good clean water laws that make it pretty difficult to do this sort of thing. And then we also have grizzly bear and bull trout, two endangered species that also help in the fight to stop.
Okay, so they would be impacted by a mine going in there.
Yes.
And they are protected. And so the organizations that are working to keep them viable and protected are working with Rock Creek?
Right, yeah. We partner with a bunch of Earth Justice and a bunch of these big heavy hitters, Sierra Club, whoever we can get on board with us to, fight. You know, that's how we've really kept this mine at bay, is through litigation in court. That's really how it's been stopped. So that's our main thing. And that's really, you know, obviously public education and getting people to write letters, that all helps. But really the law is what has stopped Rock Creek Mine. And hopefully it's going to stop, you know, the Montanor Mine on the other side of the wilderness area.
So these partnerships, Save Our Cabinets, Earth Justice, Sierra Club, did you mention Sierra Club?
Trout Unlimited has helped in the past. Fly fishing and clean water on the other side has really become a big thing over there. So I think there's going to be a lot more opposition than they realize on the other side as well. And we're looking to, you know, create more coalitions with the fly fishermen and people that use the river and care about the river over there. Yeah, it's important.
Right. So you said that Mary Costello, yay, Mary, has been dedicated for 25 years to this endeavor and this vital endeavor with Rock Creek Alliance. But it does take funding. So how is that facilitated? What do you do? Obviously, you're having a party and an auction. That's a fundraiser, but it takes more than that, too.
Really, it's more donations and grants. Mary, you know, one of the things she does is she applies for grants. And that's one of, you know, a big part of her job is to get funding. Obviously, we have some of these lawyers that come in from Earth Justice and these other places that do this work pro bono. So they don't charge us for their work. They're funded through their sources, however they raise funds. But yeah, it's really, you know, the bigger chunks of money really come from foundations and grants. But obviously, you know, having members helps. And small donations help. Everything helps. We got some really cool new shirts and hats too. So come down at the party, you know, and I just want to mention the party again is tomorrow night, 5 to 8:30 at Matchwood. And I just want to give a little shout out to Kendon and Andrea over there that are always so great to host us over there for no charge. And, you know, it's a great time over there. It's outside. We're going to have, Light on the Water, amazing 5-piece string band. That if you haven't heard yet, up and coming string band in Sandpoint, you need to come down and see these guys and support them.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity to learn more about Rock Creek Alliance. I imagine you'll have some speakers. And I think about all the people that are moving to our community because, I think I said this earlier, but because of the beauty in the lake. And becoming part of a community means becoming part of what keeps this community in this instance, clean and beautiful and safe from pollution, things like that. So new people to the community, it's a golden opportunity to learn more about Rock Creek Alliance and how they can participate and become, you know, part of the solution.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's an amazing, it's really, you know, I would urge anybody that hasn't been to go and hike up to Rock Lake and Cliff Lake. If you like mountain goats, it's a good place to go see mountain goats up there. But it is a absolutely stunning area, and it's worth a day to take time, go up there and hike up to those lakes and kind of see where this mine would be and see what we would lose if it got, you know, all dug up and then all the pollution that comes down with that. It also sets a precedent of drilling under a wilderness area for minerals, which I never really understood because I thought that that was off limits. But obviously, the you know these outdated mining laws allow resource extraction underneath wilderness areas. So it would be the first time that they actually mined underneath a wilderness area to get minerals. So it's not a good precedent in that way to set either because As a U.S. citizen, for me, it's like our public lands and all the natural areas that we've preserved, I think, is one of the coolest things that has happened in America since the beginning.
I agree with that. It looks like Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Area is just to the west of this proposal.
Right.
On the Montana-Idaho border. This, from the map I'm looking at, which, by the way, you have a great website. It's very interactive. There's a great map, which I'm looking at right now. But it looks like it's in Montana.
Yes. Yeah, the mine is in Montana. So that makes it a little difficult for us because we're a downstream state. And they don't really want to listen to our representatives so much that, you know, they don't really, I mean, I wouldn't say they don't care, but we just don't have a lot of pull because the mine, you know, as Idaho, because the mine's in Montana.
So is Rock Creek Alliance a Montana or an Idaho organization?
I don't think we label ourselves either one, really. You know, we're a 501c3, you know, federal status. So
nonprofit.
You know, our office is in Idaho, so I would say that we're an Idaho group, but that's a good question.
Well, the the mine is really in Montana, but affects Idaho. And so it's a collaboration between those that care. It's really kind of not in any place. The work, the idea, the endeavor. But I want to invite people to go to the website, rockcreekalliance.org. And as I said, there's so much information there, how you can get involved, how you can make a donation, right, John?
Yeah. Yeah. And we need members, you know. I think it's $25 to join. Yeah, having numbers of members helps us with our litigation and just letting everybody know that, you know, we care about our clean water and we're not going to allow this to happen.
Well, I think that's a great statement. We're not going to allow this to happen. It can't. That's just from me. And we really need to be able to support something like this, because the threat from the Montana over into the Libby area. Now, Libby had problems with mine tailings. I think that's what was going on years ago, where people got really sick and they're still dealing with illnesses. What was that about?
Yeah, they had a lot of trouble with that Troy mine over there. Actually, you know, they had safety issues along with, they did some fishy stuff over there. I don't know all the history about that mine. That was a little kind of right when I was getting involved with this fight. But I know they had buried some barrels that were leaching out, and there was a bunch of monkey business going on over there and some unsafe conditions in the mine as well over there. And they're still cleaning that up. It's kind of a mess still, the Troy mine.
So being on top of something, being proactive rather than trying to clean it up later and having people get ill from possible toxics and things like that makes sense. So Rock Creek Alliance got ahead of this and has kept these mines at bay. And when we talk about mining companies, I think you mentioned who it started with, but it has changed hands over the years. And nonetheless, all of these mining companies have not great records. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I guess we don't really need to go in it because it's kind of old news now. But, you know, Hecla has the mineral rights right now.
Okay.
And they're you know, they had a gentleman called Phillips Baker as their CEO. And he was the CEO of several other mining companies that have left a mess, like, all over the country. And Montana has a bad actor law. So basically, they weren't going to be able to proceed, really. We had a court and case against Hecla because of the bad actor clause. But he actually has stepped down now, which I'm surprised they hadn't gotten rid of him earlier because of this bad actor law. But he has stepped down now, so that case has been thrown out, or we've actually pulled out of that case because he's no longer the CEO of the company.
Right.
But basically, Montana has a thing. If you have a mess, if you left a mess somewhere, you have to clean that mess up before you can make another mess.
Bad actor law. Good for Montana.
Yeah.
And I just want to reiterate back to the fact that you mentioned earlier that the Rock Creek mine on the Idaho, you know, what would flow into Clark Fork River has been stopped at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no permit or anything at this point, but, you know, they still have the mineral rights. So they, you know, it's not going to lay dormant forever. Like I said, they're going to try to get in on the Libby side of the ore body. The Montanore mine is their plan that they actually just announced. Let's see, when was this? Yeah, actually just July 11th, they kind of just put forth basically that Phillips Baker had stepped down as CEO and that they were going to pursue the Montanore mine on the Libby side, which is basically they're going to do, you know, testing. So they got to get a I guess there is an adit already on that side that they had done some exploration. So basically they're going to get that start of that reopened back up is their plan. And then, which is, 14,000 foot adit's already there. So they're going to dewater that and rehabilitate that adit. And then they're going to add another 10,000 feet, for exploration activities. So they're going to basically dig a small adit, which is a small tunnel, so they can get more samples and, you know, go way into that ore body and really see what's there before they move forward.
And come up with a plan to mine on that side, on the Libby side. So it sounds like this 2024 annual party that's coming up tomorrow night at Matchwood Brewery is the July 18th. From 5 to 8:30 is a celebration of stopping the mine on the Clark Fork River side, we'll call it, and a reaffirming of dedication to stopping it on the Libby side, which sounds right. Like that's what's in front of Rock Creek Alliance. So folks can come out. I guess they're invited to come out and learn more.
Yeah, come out and learn more. Mary's going to be there. She's going to give an update. You know, I really look at this as a celebration of our victory.
Yeah.
And really celebrating our clean water and coming together and actually looking and saying, look at what we've done. We've stopped this mine for 25 years. Let's celebrate. Let's listen to some good music, dance if you'd like to dance.
And stay vigilant and join the party.
And we have this great silent auction. So come down and bid on some great items. You know, we have all our great businesses in town that have donated some just wonderful stuff. So you can come down and get in on that silent auction, which a lot of our board members have put a lot of time into gathering items and getting that all set up and organized. And then we're going to have our new shirts and hats down there.
Woohoo!
And of course, we got great refreshments at Matchwood and hospitality from Matchwood Brewery. So Light on the Water, a new up and coming string band tomorrow. So really excited for those guys and for the community to have another great, great band.
Yeah. And John, I want to thank you for coming in, and you're always a great spokesperson for this organization for when we want you to come in and tell us more. So thank you for that. And again, the party is tomorrow night at Matchwood Brewery, and it is a celebration. Thank you so much for Rock Creek Alliance. Yay, Rock Creek Alliance.
Thanks so much for having me and, your continued support of always, allowing us to come in and talk.
Anytime. And I want to give a shout out to Rock Creek Alliance. It is a valued and vital underwriter here at KRFY, and that makes a difference. That keeps another nonprofit going that is a spokesperson for our whole community. So thank you so much to Rock Creek for joining our underwriting team. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Let's see everybody tomorrow night. Come on down.
That makes sense. Matchwood Brewery tomorrow night, 5 to 8:30.